Today I'm just going to basically stay with the gospel because it's filled with things and it's really a good lesson for each and every one of us. Jesus starts off and he says, "There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and who feasted sumptuously every day." So if we think about this, we know he was dressed in very fine clothes because back then purple meant royalty. Dark blue, purple, you were well off when you had purple clothing. And it was fine linen. And then we know that this man feasted. He didn't just eat, he feasted sumptuously. How often? Every day. Every day. He never went hungry. Then the next line is a clincher. At his gate. At his gate. For the rich man, he saw, he knew. The poor man was basically, not in a mean way, but he was in his face. He could not miss this poor man near his home because he was at the gate. There was no excuse. Absolutely no excuse for the neglect. So the poor man was at the rich man's gate. His name was Lazarus. And he was covered with sores. And he longed to satisfy his hunger, not eat sumptuously every day, but just satisfy his hunger with what fell from the rich man's table, just the scraps. Just scraps, so he wouldn't feel the pain of hunger. Well, then we have the dogs. The dogs came and they looked, they licked Lazarus' sores. The rich man was neglectful. The dogs cared more for the poor man than anybody else, because the dogs went and they licked his sores. The dogs were trying to comfort him. They were with him. They were present with him. They tried to take care of him as best as they could. God gives us in abundance, and he expects us to give abundantly too. But this rich man, he didn't. Even the dogs who were considered unclean, the animals, cared more for this man. The rich man didn't care at all. So just for a moment, I'd like to discuss or think about wealth and poor. Back then we know that, and even today, it's prevalent. I hear it in the hospitals a lot. Wealth seems to be an indication of God's good favor or love or blessing or approval because, oh, that person's doing great because nothing's wrong. They're really loaded. They're in good shape. Not. That is not how God works. And then poor back then and in today's world too. Poor, poverty seems to be an indication or an evidence of disapproval from God. When things go wrong, oh, you're doing something really wrong. God is getting you. That's not true either. God never rejects. God never withholds his blessings. Being rich, there's nothing wrong with being rich. There's nothing wrong with being poor. And there's nothing wrong with being rich. It's fine in God's eyes as long as those who are rich don't ignore the poor, those in need. All of us, the rich and the poor, need to care for one another, need to care for the needy. The rich are not to be neglectful or aloof or not aware. No matter, and this is really important for all of us, no matter how poor we may think we are financially, no matter how poor we might be, there is always something that each and every one of us can give, can can say or can do. Poor isn't only with finances or money. Someone can be poor emotionally, physically, intellectually, spiritually, and yes, also financially. There is always something that we can do, no matter how little we have. We can encourage, we can care, we can love, we can nurture, we can ease the suffering of anyone in need, and we can strengthen one another and even strangers if we choose. The first and best reason for us that we know we can do this is because we have an edge. Each and every one of us knows God. We know God through Jesus, our Savior. And there is nothing more rich than knowing God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now I'd like to get back to the gospel just a little bit. So what happens next? The poor man dies, and he ends up being carried away with the angels to heaven where Abraham was. He was now being cared for. And the rich man, well, he was being tormented. God wasn't there zapping him. He was being tormented because he was slowly beginning to realize what he had not done. There was a distance between him and his Creator, his God. That is torment. So what happens? The rich man began to notice and look around. And he looked up and he saw Abraham far away. And he said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. So now the rich man is looking around, noticing, and wanting mercy. And he asks for Lazarus to send some water. Let him dip his finger in the water and soothe my tongue, because he is in agony. And then Abraham says something, for me it was really interesting. He says, Child, remember, during your lifetime, you received good things. Notice the use of the word child. It was a gentle, like, okay, let's wake up. Let's pay attention. Do you remember what you did or what you didn't do? So it was a gentle reminder. He was in torment because of his own not doing. He was disobedient to the will of God. So then Abraham tells him, he says, besides all this, because you were comforted on earth, you didn't care about those who were in need. But now besides all of that, there is a great chasm between you and us. The great chasm was his willful disobedience. Sincere obedience brings us close to God. Willful sin, willful disobedience builds up a wall. It builds a chasm between God and ourselves. And it's not God who's building the chasm, it's us. That's the great chasm. We keep ourselves either close to God or away from God, depending on our choices. God is always calling us to himself. He's always desiring us to turn to him for everything, for anything. It's up to us to accept or reject him, his ways, his will, and his love. It's up to us. So now we hear from the rich man again, and there's some growth. He says, I beg you then, send Lazarus to my father's house, for I have 5 brothers. He's beginning to think outside himself, beyond himself, to his family. That's growth. He's realizing he had done wrong and he wanted to warn his family. He doesn't want them to be tormented and separated from the presence of God. But Abraham says, no, they have Moses and the prophets. They should listen to them. This is true. And he says, no, Father Abraham, that's good. Yeah, maybe they should listen, but no. We need something more spectacular. He said, if somebody comes back from the dead, then they will repent. We know the story to that. That was a glimmer of growth for Abraham. A glimmer of growth for the rich man. But Abraham knew better. Jesus says that Abraham tells him, if they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead. That was the warning. The rich man thinks his family will repent if someone comes back and warns them. Jesus came, he lived, he healed, he cared for, he taught, he died, he rose again, he ascended into heaven, and still all of us sin. All of us need to repent. So the story is true. But it's up to us to follow Jesus, to heed his words, to listen to all the lessons every Sunday and during the week. It's our choice. It's our acceptance. It's up to us to build a chasm or to be in love with God, to follow his will and his ways and grow closer to him. The choice for us is either living with God or being in a chasm. It's up to us to choose heaven. It's our choice. So the gospel teaching, if you want to kind of like summarize it, is there is always something for each and every one of us to do for someone else. We are also accountable to God to do it. And from all of these lessons, we learn that our lives, our resources, our attitudes, our behaviors, our caring, our actions, our faith, all of this can bring health to each other and others, and it can bring healing, and it can also glorify our God as he deserves. Amen.